take over. We are Maris take over.
Hey, hey, it's your girl, Tamika.
It's your boy, E-Rock Nil.
Hey, listen, we keep it real.
We keep it raw.
We keep it uncut.
All day.
We are Marriage Takeover. And we want to welcome you to another episode of the Marriage Takeover Show.
Can I?
Go ahead.
Welcome.
Y'all.
Into this place.
Listen, he is already in timeout, y'all. We have had a time on today. I tell you, I don't know what has been going on with Mr. Eric Thompson on this morning.
Because I got my dog.
My prophet, my priest, and my king. I don't know what is going on with him this morning.
Y'all about to find out in 5 seconds.
He has been on a whole nother something this morning. I'm just like, what is going on with you?
I see promise.
You see promise. Listen, we want to welcome you to another episode of the Marriage Takeover Podcast Show, where we are talking about credit on today.
Yeah, get your money right.
Your financial credit, your finances are important. Your credit score is important. What you need to know about the credit, all those great things. We're talking about that on today.
Yes.
Before we go in, though, I want to make sure that we start off with prayer.
Let's pray.
And I want to make sure, you guys, I'm so excited to be back. I had surgery last month, and so I am so excited to be back and up and moving around. It has been an amazing journey. I have learned a lot about myself, a lot about my body, a lot about the family, if you will. Caretaking is not for the faint, let me tell you.
She has found out that her husband is with her 100 all day. Yes.
That's your story obedient. You sticking to it? As long as I'm obedient.
As long as she is obedient. Hallelujah.
So if you are watching via YouTube, we want to welcome you. As you can see us, you can hear us. If you are just listening to the podcast, we want to again welcome you.
Mark your calendars for May 4th, 2024, because the Committed Workshop is happening. You've got a seat with your name on it, either live, in person, or from your living room virtually. This isn't just any workshop. It's your golden ticket to rekindling that spark and strengthening your bond with your spouse. We're talking practical, actionable advice that's going to transform your marriage. And yes, Eric and Tamika, yours truly, will be right there with you, sharing, laughing, and growing together. But here's the catch. Space is super limited. We're keeping it cozy and impactful. So if you're even a little bit excited about making your marriage more amazing, you need to act fast. Jump over to marriagetakeover.com/committed and secure your spot now. Let's make our marriages thrive, not just survive. Can't wait to see you on May 4th. Stay encouraged and remember, we're in this together.
So we're going to go ahead and get started with prayer.
Let us pray. Father, Heavenly Lord God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. God, I thank you for this dynamite couple, Lord
God,
that has that story to tell, Father, about how you have just done it.
Yes.
And so, Father, we just ask you now, Father, that your anointing just continue to flow, oh God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
God, I ask that you continue to strengthen, oh God, continue to reveal, oh God. Father, continue, oh God, to speak, Father, where our minds and our hearts are open to receive, God, the knowledge, God, on how we can just not just be the best part, to be our best selves, but God, even financially, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God, yes, we come, Lord. God, we breaking all of those financial barriers, oh God, those financial strongholds. So God, I pray now in the name of Jesus, oh God, that your will be done on this day.
Yes,
and so Father, we thank you now, God, we give you glory and honor. We say this prayer in your darling son Jesus' name, baby. Go ahead, introduce my dog in his boo.
Amen, amen.
Yeah.
So we have with us today some amazing special guests that I want help us to welcome. We have LeBaron and Kavanya Durant, who currently reside in Tampa, Florida.
Where they at?
And they Sunshine are State. Children of God first.
Yes.
They are parents of two. Their daughter is 22, and then their son is 14.
14.
They are investors. They are entrepreneurs.
Ballers.
And they're also in healthcare. So,
I'm sorry. Go ahead. That's right. Make sure you got your money, and guess what? Make sure you live to have fun with it. Come on here now.
Right. So they specialize in credit education and getting credit profiles ready for home purchases and lending. They started with a two-house hack duplex in the DMV area.
Right here in the hometown.
Stand up, DMV.
Now sit back down, rest y'all, and listen.
And they didn't know what they had. They didn't understand the treasure. So they sold both of them. And then they moved to Tampa before finding a blueprint to generational wealth.
Ooh.
So they learned about credit to fix their own.
Mm-hmm.
And then they begin educating and helping others with their credit. So they made it official in 2023, and I'm so glad they did, by opening up the Credit Enhancement Organization to help people navigate the world of credit. We aim, or they aim, to help youth and young people avoid the traps that are set to trip them up in credit.
Come on now.
So would you help me?
Help us.
To welcome. Welcome. Help us. Welcome LeBaron and Kavanya.
My dog in his boo.
Listen, we want to welcome you all. Welcome. Thank you so much for your yes, and thank you so much for being a part of the show. We so appreciate it, and what you do is so important and so valuable. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for having us.
No problem. So tell us about, first, let's see. How long have you guys been married?
We have been married 18 years.
Good job.
Ooh. I say, you love her long time.
I love it. I see she putting you on the hot spot. Like, we gonna let you answer that.
It's like, boo, do you remember?
Right. No, I love it. So now tell us about your journey and how you got involved in the financial space, the credit space, and then what happened during your DMV opportunity. Like, how did you realize you had something that you lost once you sold it?
Well, So going to the story, we met in the DMV. So I moved to Virginia after college. Kavanya moved to Virginia after college, and we met there by a mutual friend. So didn't mesh right off the gate, but
he's a nerd.
Still am. Yeah, so we met in the DMV, and then what we were looking for, you know, the American dream, the single family home, white picket fence, things like that, that is peddled to you from birth on. So we got a huge house. We had a basement that we finished, and we moved somebody into the basement, to, you know, to help with costs, things like that. And then we moved to another house after that one and did the same thing. It had a mother-in-law suite under it. But we didn't realize what we had until we got to Tampa. And there's some you know, matriculation through things that learning more and more about investments and what you can do. And that real estate is probably, you know, one of the best investments that you can make. And found some courses and found out that multifamily real estate was like one of the easiest ways to get into investments and real estate. So realized that both of the houses that we had before were hacked duplexes because we had more than one family in them. So once you have more than one family, the other person that's in the house kind of pays for the mortgage, and you can do other things with your money if you're frugal. But that's how we found out that, you know, we had something, and I think it was just a whatever dollar amount lesson that it was. I don't think we lost it. I just think we gained a lesson through going through that.
That's good.
And we should keep those houses instead of selling them when we moved here. With the Tampa, we should have kept what we had in the DMV. So that could have been paying for what we have here in Tampa, but not knowing. You know what I mean? Not knowing, and the education that we're constantly getting. Knowledge is power.
Yes. Knowledge is power. And I want to sit there for just a minute, only because so LeBaron, I think we met in a mutual space. We were on you and Eric were on podcasts
together.
Yeah, and then it was just like the friendship just grew, and just kind of being in different rooms and different spaces, I don't think we realize not so much as the importance, but I don't think we realize what's available to us.
Yeah.
Right? Most of our communities, right, the African-American culture, when we grow up, right, our culture, our generational cycle, mm-hmm. sometimes we don't realize what's available to us until we're in different rooms.
Right.
And so it's important, like when you all talk about the duplexes, right, there was a point that you had to get to that point. And did it start with the credit?
No, it actually started with the state. So it started with learning about the duplexes, but when we went to buy one after we bought our single family here, we realized like there are some barriers in place mm-hmm. between owning a single family home as both of us being on the deed mortgage, you know, being married. You could get more real estate separately. So, I mean, if anybody that's listening, if you're single and you're waiting to get married, you can get more real estate as a single person. And then, so if she had bought a duplex or, you know, triplex quad as a single person, and I had bought a quad as a single person, that would have been eight doors once we made our union versus us being tied to, and this is with conventional lending as well. So with conventional lending, they don't like to give you more than one mortgage at a time and things like that. But of course there's creative finance, but I'm not talking about that right now. So with conventional financing, they only want you to be extended to the level of, and they meaning the banks, the traditional banks, they want to give you one mortgage at a time. And if you're married, they still give you one mortgage at a time, even if you have two different jobs, things like that. So the credit part started from learning about real estate and then us both wanting to get another property and then realizing that there was a barrier there because we already have an FHA loan for this house. Mm. So once you have the FHA loan for one thing, if you're not moving outside of 50 miles, then you can't use it again. But learning about that and then realizing that our credit really has a very large impact on your worthiness to other people, how they view you to get those loans. So it went from real estate to credit and realizing that everybody else probably didn't have the same information that I just learned about credit, and then wanting to help our people. Like you said, we don't come up with this information, but wanting to help our people get that information and apply the information. So that's where the credit came from.
Oh, wow. Sweet.
Wow. Like, what was that barrier? If you don't mind, what was that barrier that was like, babe, we got to focus on our credit. Like what took place where it was like, hold on, yo, I see now you able to do this. Why can't I do this? And then like, oh, hold up. Babe, we got this barrier because their number is here. Okay, so now our number is here too, but why we're not able to jump over that? So it's like, what was that barrier that said, yo, we need to focus on our credit and get our credit right?
So we had the checklist of items. You know, you have the money, you're looking for the place, you have the realtor, you have the people to fix up the place, and you also need a credit profile that is good enough for people to lend to you. And that last part is one of the longest things it takes, because a lot of people don't understand what goes into the credit score, doesn't understand how to, and for lack of a better term, manipulate the credit score, mm-hmm. Manipulate the game, but and not manipulation in the sense of you trying to be devious, but more so playing the game the way it's set up.
Right.
And the light bulb went off when we had enough money. We had the realtor. We had everything, all the things in the checks on the checklist. And then when we went to get another mortgage, they said, "Oh well, you have this on your credit. You have a 30-day late payment. We can't give it to you because you have that, or you have your credit is below 680 or 650. Like the bar of entry is 650, but you get better interest rates if you're above 680." And then if you're above, if you get to 780, the highest benefit for you to get a better interest rate is 780. So once you're past 780, everything is pretty much the same. So 780 to 820, all of that gives you the same interest rate. But learning that information, learning what goes into a credit score, learning that your profile is more important than the score itself is the things that is when the light bulb went off in my brain, and it said, I know other people don't know this, because when I ask them about certain things that are about credit, they're like, oh, well, I didn't know that your identification information really matters when it's on your credit profile. So like your name, the how many employers you have, things like that matter, but they don't tell you that it matters because they don't want you to know.
Wow.
Let's talk about that.
Hold on. But then, I just got to make sure everybody caught the nuggets. He said your baseline, your credit score got to be a 650. Then he said you get a better interest rate if it's above a 680. But then, because then he said that everything is just even better when it's above a 780.
Okay.
So I'm like, hold on. So you mean to tell me I can still get the car, but the interest rate is going to be like 29%. But if my score is a 680, then I could get a car, but my interest rate could probably be around, below 13. And then if I'm a 680, then if I'm a 780, I could buy a car and my interest rate would be freaking 2.1.
These are hypothetical interest rates, people.
No, but on the
do not come for Marriage Takeover talking about you said my credit score was gonna be.
I'm gonna tell y'all something, y'all. Understand this. The word of God said, I have given you knowledge to gain wealth.
Right.
So he is dropping the knowledge.
Yeah.
All we have to do is now go and apply. So the nuggets he just dropped, if your score is below a 650, let's get to 650. I know he's going to talk about that. I ain't gonna jump ahead because I know there's some more stuff. Y'all better pick up these nuggets because I'm scooping them right now. I'm scooping them.
And I think it's really important because, right, the top three reasons people go to divorce is, for money, for finances, for communication, and then infidelity. Mm-hmm. But if you really think about all those things, the root of that might be something else. But the surface of it is because finances. The surface is, I didn't realize what your credit score was, or, I didn't realize how much debt you were bringing to the marriage, or, I didn't realize so many different things, or we don't have, or we don't know the information that we need to know in order to get out of the rut that we're in.
So
we're going in cycles.
Right.
And so when you said that the profile is more important than the credit score,
come on.
Like for me, that was a nugget that I caught. So I didn't catch the credit, the different levels.
I'm about the numbers.
But I caught the profile is more important. Could you dive in just a little bit for that? Because I remember when Eric and I were first married, we had no clue about credit score, and we came. So my family was a little shaky. So my family was like using the children's credit on cable and other stuff. So when we got married, I actually had stuff on my credit score
right. That
I had no idea of. And so somebody, I think, because I was in the military. So the attorney and one of the attorneys in the military, because my credit was all jacked up. And I was like, I'm just getting started. What do you mean? One of my cousins had used my credit score who was living in the house for the cable. And they were like, well, all you have to do is just send a notice in to the credit bureaus and let them know that you were underage. And they'll wipe it off. Well, I didn't know that before. So that was what we started to do. But then the more we learned, the more we were able to do certain things. And we didn't realize until we got to hurdles when we wanted to purchase a car. When we wanted to purchase our house.
Yeah.
That was when we were like, wait a minute. Credit is like a real issue. And we was mad at each other like, well, what all you had going on? And what all you had going on? And why we can't
tell
do this?
Tell the truth, say the devil, you was mad with me.
That thing was hot with me, boy. I'm a realtor, too. For anybody who doesn't know, I'm a licensed realtor in Maryland and DC, but I was not there when we bought our first home. But when we were going to buy our first home, he went out and bought a car. Like, we're in the process, y'all, looking.
Don't do that to me, dog.
We had went, we found the house, we were putting the offer in on the house, and this dude goes out and buys a car. Without us talking about it.
Watch me whip.
I was just like, are you serious right now? So it affected our debt to income ratio, but we were still able to go through the purchase. But I was just, so those are things that I did not know as a consumer until I was a little more educated and got into the rooms.
Yep.
So can you talk a little bit more about the profile and why the profile is more important and what we should know as couples, as married couples, as singles, as anybody when it comes to our profile?
So we'll get to the profile. Kavoy wanted to say something.
But you bought a car without her knowing that you bought a car?
He did.
Excuse me, sis. This is not about me. I'll mess with you.
He did. So,
mark your calendars for May 4th, 2024, because the Committed Workshop is happening. You've got a seat with your name on it, either live, in person, or from your living room virtually. This isn't just any workshop. It's your golden ticket to rekindling that spark and strengthening your bond with your spouse. We're talking practical, actionable advice that's going to transform your marriage. And yes, Eric and Tamika, yours truly, will be right there with you, sharing, laughing, and growing together. But here's the catch. Space is super limited. We're keeping it cozy and impactful. So if you're even a little bit excited about making your marriage more amazing, you need to act fast. Jump over to marriagetakeover.com/committed and secure your spot now. Let's make our marriages thrive, not just survive. Can't wait to see you on May 4th. Stay encouraged and remember, we're in this together.
Let me put it in context.
And this is why I learned something. So what had happened was I woke up. So I had a we had a 95 Ford Explorer that the transmission went out, and we had a Hyundai Accent that had never had an issue with it. It was 95 as well, never had an issue with it. I woke up one morning to go crank up, and that mug sounded like a motorcycle. So I was jacked because I never had an issue with it, and I didn't have the knowledge of a vehicle at the time. So I went to my friend that was a car dealer. I said, listen, oh, and we had that black Stratus too that you had. So but the both of the cars were paid for. They were mine. But the Stratus that we had was hers. We were still paying for that one. So what happened was, because when we was going through the process, our debt-to-income ratio was at a 49%. So when I go and get, I was just like, yo, I just need a car. I didn't care what it was. So I bought this. So I told her, I was like, yo, I'm finna go look at a car. She was like, okay, cool. I get there, I was like, you know what? Yeah, give me that. And it was like, yo, just give me this little neon. Because dude was like, yo.
He didn't call me. He just came home with the car. And I was like, did you hold on. Seriously?
I got to let me finish telling the story.
Hurry up, baby.
So I never had nobody say to me, hey, you can go and get whatever car you want. Because at that point, my credit was, it was in the sevens. I don't think it was at 780, but it was close to it. He said, you can get whatever you want on the lot. I was like, what? Man, I test drove everything. I test drove it. I knew I wasn't going to buy. I just wanted to drive it. But I was like, you know what? Just give me this little Nia. At the time, that was like $13,000. I just needed a car. Man, I was like, cool, black, sunroof top. I even put a diamond in the back so I can dig the scene in my gangster lean. But I get home. I get home. So what happened was, the one that was the green one that sounded like a motorcycle, I traded that in. And then I also traded in my truck because I haven't fixed the transmission in it. So that was two. So the lesson I learned in that time, besides her being mad and besides me talking, having come into oneness with it. So I learned one, don't trade in two paid for cars for a payment. That was number one that I learned. Number two that I learned, always talk to your wife to come into agreement. Because this was a funny thing. Are you ready for this? I had the car for a year. The day we was bringing home Aaliyah, it got hit sitting in a hospital parking lot. So I had to drive that car around the Beltway. Y'all know the Beltway here in the DMV. We had to drive that car from like exit 30-something to exit 5. And so sideways, because it wasn't going straight. But I said, well, Lord, I know not to do this again. So that's what happened. And so because we wasn't in it, see, that's going to go into a whole nother subject. But always make sure you talk to you. Make sure you talk. Understand, I didn't have to get permission. It was just that we needed to be on one accord. The blessing is in the oneness. So yeah, that was my mistake. Thank you, sis, for pointing that out. So I didn't really want to have to go into it. So I mean that had nothing to do with my profile. I can't believe my dog put me out there like that. Hey, excuse me, no, my wife want to say something first. But it's all good. That's why you love family, because they can call you, pull you on your car, you ain't gonna get mad. But after the show, we're gonna talk. But anyway.
I love it. But somebody needed to hear that, though. So yeah. It's important to understand that somebody needed, because decisions are made about finances all the time inside of a household. And most of the times they're not communicated.
Come on. But that's why you end up having these financial issues when people start want to go to divorce because of it. Because, you know, thinking about it, it's like, yo, why your credit ain't straight? So
go back to the profile.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to loop it back to. And so I was like, babe, my credit is straight. I think they're looking at my profile. So if you can drop that, help us out to understand that profile. Listen, yo.
So when you're talking about the profile, two people that have a 670 credit score, because there are hundreds of models out here that will calculate your credit score. And there are different places that will calculate your credit score to their advantage. So Credit Karma has a place that will calculate your credit score to their advantage so they can give you products for that. And even though FICO is the one that they use a lot, you know, as far as like lending is concerned, the mortgage companies use FICO, but even FICO benefits them. So there are different types of profiles out. Different types of score models out there. But the reason that someone with a 670, so let's say Kavanya has a 670, I have a 670 as well. But on her profile, it's a lack of history on her profile. So let's say she only has a mortgage or a car payment. And then on my profile, I have a 670, but it dropped from a 700 because I made a late payment or something like that. So I have 5 credit cards. 2 of them have late payments on it. I have no mortgage, and I have a revolving account or a car payment. So the revolving accounts are the credit cards, and the installment accounts are some stuff like car payments, the ones that you pay off over time. So those are installments. But so let's say I only have the car payment installment and a couple of credit cards, and my profile is a 670, but Kavanya has a mortgage and nothing else on there, and she has a 670. They're going to look at her as more favorable than they look at me, even though we have the same score. Because when they look at her, they say, okay, she has a mortgage. It's been on there for 6 years. She's never made a late payment. Even though the credit score is at 670 because of a lack of history, they're still looking at her as more favorable because I've already shown you that I have a history of making late payments because I have 3 of them on my profile. So they're looking at that as, okay, well, you're likely to make more late payments, and your things like your car insurance are even tied to that. Your car insurance rate will go up if you have a lower credit score.
Yeah. Phone bill too, right? And utilities.
Well, and the deposits on those things. Yes. Okay. Yep. They make you make deposits on those things because you're not credit worthy. And that's the price of not having a good profile.
Oh right. My God. So now I don't mind telling the truth about us.
Oh yeah.
So that's what because you know, we keep it real and raw. Yeah. So when you said that, you just connected a dot for me, because when we were, her dog wrecked her car that she had. And so we had, because it ended up jacking up.
My dog did not wreck the car.
Whatever. It's the reason. Thank you. I had to look at our daughters in here. I got a witness.
We recently got her. We were on the way to the vet, and our daughter was holding her in a passenger seat. We were on our way coming home. I reached down. I moved my cup from the center console to the driver's side door.
So her dog.
And so the dog wouldn't get to the straw. I reached down. I looked away from the road, reached down and grabbed my cup so I could drink from it. And I hit the median, the side of the median.
And it was not
the dog's fault. It was my fault.
If the dog wasn't in the car, it would have been fine. Anyway. But.
But you made her.
He has a love hate relationship with my dog. So
the dog has cost me $40,000 out the gate. Anyway,
oh my gosh, it did not.
So this is what hit me, because when we were at the and we went to go get a car, but what tripped me out was when he pulled up our credit. You know, LeBaron, you know me. I listen to your words. And so when he pulled up our credit, I recognized that whatever he received from the bank or where, no, because it was their finance officer.
Right. So we had a check. They were just trying to get us to use their finance, and we went to the dealership with a check.
See, you didn't, but you weren't at that. You weren't in that conversation because you were still she was still perusing these calls. I was like, anyway, I'm talking to the dude, and he was like, He's like, oh. Because, like, literally, our numbers are the same, but I have more revolving credit because I have more credit cards in my name. But we both have mortgage in our names. And he has said something. He was like, oh. He asked me, he said, are you going to be, he asked me, am I going to be on the loan? I said, hold on, why do I need to be on the loan? Because we already had our money set. All we had to do was just cut him a check. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, are you going to be on the loan? I said, why are you asking me, am I going to be on the loan? Oh, because it's better if you're on it. I said, no, we're not using y'all's. And so because the thing was, they still had to wait on the bank to process. And so these bamas was like, well, if you're going to take the car today, then you're going to have to write us a check. Like, for what? All you need to do is just call the bank. The money coming. You know, for what? But anyway, it was no biggie. But when you said that profile, because it has been a question, and I'd be doggone, we done had like 15 million credit conversations I could have asked you did. But when you said that, that's when I remember, like, hold up. Because it was like, why are you saying that I need to be on it? So what they did was, when we came to, because wait a minute, we had to leave or something. Another, we had to come back and like do the paperwork. So anyway, we came back to do the paperwork. What dude did, he said, this would be our, with both of us on it using their finance, it actually beat the interest rate that we got from our bank. So you know me, I'm playing with numbers though. In my mind, I'm playing with numbers, but I'm like, hold on, dog, that ain't right because like for what I bank, it's just on her because
right.
I don't know why. Why we do that anyway? But it was just solely on her credit. But when they showed it for with both of us on it, it had a lower interest rate. But for the HIB was like, oh, because you got a better price. Because I had wondered why in the heck would it be different just because I was on it. When literally our credit score was the exact same. Just like you, the example. And I was like, yo. But to hear you say because of my profile? Oh, my goodness. Now I'm just, babe, let's go invest. It's time to move now. It's time because I'm understanding. Go ahead. So I'm like, yo. So I'm telling y'all, man, once again, we here with my bro. You know how to do that stuff. Yeah. But, yo, I'm telling you, I hope you all are taking notes because it's crazy out here in these money streets if you ain't handling your money. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, baby.
I was just going to say, so what we want to do is we want to go ahead and take a commercial break. And so we'll be right back with these phenomenal couples. And so you hang tight.
Oh, my God. We challenge you to join us to commit not just to each other, but to a journey of growth, love, and legacy.
Are you ready to be a part of something bigger? To not just stay married, but to be committed to thriving together?
Join the Committed Campaign. Let's make commitment the heart of marriage again.
Your legacy starts today.
Be committed.
Be courageous.
Be the change.
And we're back. We are back. Oh my God, yo. Listen, I know this thing has been blowing y'all mind. I know it has. Listen, I know you saw the commercial, so make sure you govern yourselves accordingly. Yes, praise the Lord, because we are doing some big things right here at Marriage Takeover. So without further ado, yo, we're going to get back into it. Wifey, go ahead and break it in for
me. We are back with LeBaron and Kavanya Durant with Durant Enterprises, and we're talking about credit, you all. And so if you missed the first segment, we want to make sure that you go back and you listen to that first segment. But this second segment, we are digging in, and we are going to be talking about... Jesus. We talked about the profiles, right? But right. We want to talk about the data points, right?
And the credit freezes.
Jeez. The importance of that, and then I'm going to ask you another question after that, LeBaron. So let's talk about the data points and why the data points are so important.
All right. So data points is a service level. So your credit profile has a lot of information on it that is tied to past events. Mm-hmm. One of the laws that we have under the Fair Credit Reporting Act is that they cannot keep information on your credit profile for an unlimited amount of time. It has to expire. Mm-hmm. But Kavanya's maiden name is Taylor. So if she has Kavanya Taylor on her profile and Kavanya Durant on her profile, they can still tie information that from when she was Kavanya Taylor a long time ago, they can still tie information to her based on her name being there. So one of the things my company does, all first of all, is get all of that information removed. So old addresses, old or variations of your name, old address, phone numbers, old and old employers. Your employers don't need to even be on your credit report. So we remove all of that stuff. But those data points, because they're not supposed to tie information to you indefinitely. So you know how even a bankruptcy is supposed to fall off after 7 years. But if that bankruptcy was in your maiden name and the bankruptcy falls off, you get married, but they still have your maiden name on there, they know you have a bankruptcy because that name is still on there. So Those are the things that they hold against you, and you're wondering why. Okay, well, I'm at a 670. I can't get to a 680. How come I can't get there? Or how come I'm getting penalized for these things that they shouldn't even know? Well, and you probably don't know they know that, but when they quote you on your car insurance, they say, all right, well, your payment's going to be $600 a day. And you're like, why is it $600 a day? But because they have all that information from before.
But isn't it also like based on your zip code sometimes, like where you live?
Yeah, and where you live. Because like down here in Florida, it's the highest, I think they said the highest fraud, which beckons me to ask them, how come you don't crack down on fraud in Florida? But that's another conversation for another time. But your zip code has a lot to do with your insurance as well. But yeah, I mean, that's insurance talk, which I have a whole lot of a lot of things to say about insurance. Okay. But we're talking about data points right now and credit profiles. So yeah, that's where the data points hurt you.
Wow. Okay, that's good to know. And I didn't realize employers weren't even supposed to be on your credit report.
Wow. Like, yo, that's crazy. Because you, like, if you had filed for bankruptcy in your maiden name, but then you marry, your name changed, and you go for something, it still shows up even after the years it's supposed to been expired?
Yeah.
Yo, that's crazy. So you mean to tell me, so when the banks run that information, all of that be trying to come back at you. They're actually seeing all this. Oh, this person is, because doesn't it also go into like a risk factor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's how they rate your credit worthiness. But Tamika was talking about her LexisNexis file, and LexisNexis keeps a profile of all of that information. And if you ask them to send it to you, they have to send it to you. And you can, not only can you dispute information on Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, but you can dispute all of that information, even on LexisNexis. So if LexisNexis has a bankruptcy that's supposed to be off of there, but they keep your profile forever because a lot of people don't know that the data furnishers have your profile and they don't have to remove the stuff off of there because you didn't tell them to. So you can dispute that information is on LexisNexis and you're saying, okay, well, that got discharged and it's expired. I need you to remove that. But the data furnishers are the ones that hold the information. Right. And then the credit bureaus are just saying, okay, well, we're gonna verify this information with the data furnishers. Data furnishers are saying, yeah, they had a bankruptcy and we have it on file here. So it is verified information, and the credit bureaus don't really do any work. So they say, okay, we got verified. Yeah, we're going to send that back to you and say, well, we can't remove it because it was verified. But if you stop and if you don't, you know, if you get weary in well-doing, then they're counting on you to give up. So if you give up, then they don't have to do anything. But if you keep going at them, then they have to remove that stuff.
Bro, what happened? Yo, oh my God. So what happened was we joined the gym, Gold's Gym, way back in the day. And for some odd reason, so what happened was
they breached their contract.
Yeah, they breached the contract. They didn't pull the funds out. And so when they didn't pull the funds out, when they went to pull the funds, of course, they weren't there. You ain't pulling them out when you said you was. Anyway, So they kept trying to come after us. I mean, I think the bill hadn't got to like $1,000, you know, even though it's still small, but still. So what happened was they when they came after us to the even to the point when they pulled, because they even called, when the collection came, we was like, no, we're not paying it. And they was like, well, mm-hmm. no, you owe. It's like, no, it's a breach of contract on them. Then was it the lawyer called? A lawyer called. And oh, wow. was like, yo, we got the same thing. You know, it's like, yo, we'll send you a copy because when...
That was back when I wanted to be an attorney. So I was reviewing the contract. I had highlighted it. I put data points in there.
So, and it was so funny because, like, I want to say, like, maybe 5, 6, 7 years later,
yeah,
they, like, reached back out to us. Like, yeah. hold on. Because remember, I said, yo, this shouldn't even be on our credit report anymore. Why is it, you know what I'm saying? Why is it coming back? But to now to hear this backroom stuff, because she was like, yo, nah, we're gonna hold on to this yep. paperwork just in case.
Today, I still have that paperwork. That was over 15 years ago.
Yeah. And then, what was the other one? So now I'm trying to wonder, because this one company breached their warranty. They didn't honor their warranty. And I think that was like maybe $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 worth of work that they did, but they did not honor their warranty. And right. because they didn't, I ain't gonna lie, I ain't paying them. I mean, I went to court and all. And so I won, but you know, because at first it was gonna be a, because it showed up, and for 1 month it showed up as a judgment on my credit. But then when I pulled my credit again, it wasn't on there anymore. Shortly after the court, something like that. Anyway, it showed up, but now it's not there. And I was just like, huh.
So you're wondering if it's on the Lexus
Nexus. Because yo, that junk, it should be gone because now it's like, hold on, Shorty. You're going to try and give me a higher interest rate because of, you see this, that was on. Oh, man. Dog, seem like I've been asking the wrong questions during our conversations.
What would you recommend to a couple, right? Because in real estate as well as in marriage coaching, we always find that not all the time are both couples like savvy with their finances. There's, you know, one spouse might have a really bad credit score. The other spouse might have a good credit score. And so sometimes it breeds the challenges where they might have to go and get a mortgage in just one spouse's name and then add the other spouse to the deed, or go and purchase a vehicle in just the one spouse's name and then add, you know, that the other spouse on the title. What would you recommend to couples that are in that space for their spouses to get up to speed with getting their credit back on track?
Go ahead.
Well, for me, we were in that situation and sometimes can still get there in certain ways. But I know when we first got married, LeBaron was an accountant and he was just into, you know, finances for the government. And, you know, he was doing all that. And I was just like, hey, you know, whatever happens. Just, you know, credit, like, what is that? You know, I really didn't care about it until we, like, life started lifing, right? When life started lifing, it was just like, ooh, you know, I've had cars, I've had all types of stuff, and, like, not paying, like, repossessed, like, you know, early in college, and then in college, they set you up, and, you know, they have all the credit tables all over campus and, you know, get your t-shirt and,
get a pizza,
you know, all this type of stuff. And you'll be able to get a credit card. And of course, I got credit cards, getting sneakers, outfits, everything. So, you know, I really didn't care about credit in the beginning. And then as we got together as a couple and we really wanted to start doing things, and his credit was just like perfect and mine was just like,
it was better. It wasn't really perfect, but
his was better than mine. I put it that way. His was much better than mine. But then it got to a point when we started talking about money, and this is where communication will come in. I started feeling like I was a child, right? Like he was like telling me, and I had to kind of suck some of that up, right? Because he's right. Like I didn't know a lot, and it was hard. But it's just a way.
Yeah,
we talked to each other that had to to come together, right? So it was like, even though he knew more, I'm still your wife. We're partners in this, so we have to work together instead of it being like I'm a child. You know what I'm saying? So we had to work through a lot, and that was a lot that we had to work through. But then us learning together, because it was like, even though he knew, he didn't know everything, so we literally had to learn together and start walking in the same path, right? Yeah. And realize that this is not a competition.
That's number one. That's the number one advice right there. Realize you're on the same team. So the competition factor is you against everybody else. And not even everybody else, but it's you against your former self. So as long as you get better every day, so for us, does it benefit our marriage? Like, that's the number one thing. And then once you get that mindset, does it benefit our marriage? Then you'll look at everything else differently. And if you got to get counseling, which I do recommend, that's one of the things I recommend as well. Get counseling. Get therapy separately and collectively. Because there are things that you don't really understand that you're doing because of past hurt or past things that have gone on. And you might govern yourself differently if you understood where that came from.
Right.
Wow.
So money was, we looked at money differently when we got together, because he came from where he got to the point where when he started doing well financially, he was just like, oh, I'm not going back to where I was. So that's why it was just like every single thing, money mattered to him. Money was just like, we have to make sure we are good, because I'm not going to where I once was. Where I grew up, my parents just took care of me. You know what I mean? Like, I came from a good place. So I really didn't, I don't want to say I didn't care about money, but I didn't understand the value of a dollar. You know what I mean? I looked at it differently.
Right.
And so I had to learn his point of view. He had to learn my point of view. And once we got in each other's shoes, it worked a little bit.
And there are
a little bit better.
There are very good principles to both sides. Right. Like for her, understanding that money is just money. It's gonna come and it's gonna go. That mentality, my father's gonna take care of me. You need that. And you also need the frugal side of it that says, okay, well, I'm going to be a good manager of my money too. Right. But if you have one outside of the other, then you're unbalanced. And then you need both of those things because, okay, well, if something happens, my father will still take care of me. But while I have, while I'm managing this money, I'm going to do the best of my ability. Mm-hmm. Because, and all of those principles are in the Bible.
Yeah. Oh my God. Dude. Everything that you just said, dude, it is the word of God. Like, because understand, same thing right here. Same thing.
Yeah, we had different money languages.
Yeah.
That's what I call it. We had different money languages.
I did not know, you never mentioned that you have an accountant background.
So does he.
So does I. So do I.
And the way that he communicates it to me, like, I felt like a child. And, you know, here I am, this educated woman. I got all these degrees. Don't come talk money to me, because that's not my language.
Yo, I ain't gonna lie to you, y'all. I remember she hit me up like, honey, I got to put together this spreadsheet.
Was an Excel spread. Y'all, I was at work. Y'all, don't tell nobody this. I ain't going to tell y'all which job I was on. But I was at work, and it was an Excel spreadsheet, and I was dealing with a budget.
Right.
Y'all, they had me dealing with money, and I was dealing with a budget. And I was like, babes, how can I do this report? How can I do these different things? Can you create me a pivot table out of this?
We was on the phone, right?
So we were on the phone. So he walking me through on the phone how to do this stuff. Well, I'm at work. I'm just like,
and I'm sitting here like, this is what I be talking about. I just, because it's like, and it's so funny that you said so. Yeah, because we're big on, yes, you got to clear up that the stuff that hindered you before, that's in your past.
Yeah.
When God has revealed something new to you, this is why Marriage Takeover is here. So please connect with us if you would like to be free. Hallelujah. So, and the thing is, like, yo, I remember the one time. So before our paths crossed, she was like, honey, we need to, I'm going to spend money in this people here. And so they get our credit straight. I said, for what?
I did, y'all. That was like 3 years ago.
And this is what they told her. She said, yes, in 6 months, you'll see a difference. I said, for what? I knew enough, because I'm be honest with you. Hey, LeBaron, they did not know not even half of the information that you know. They knew what I knew. I told her, I said, oh, they told you 6 months, they can get your credit score to whatever. I said, bet. I said, if you're willing to just roll with me 6 months, I will have your credit score higher than that. Yeah, she was like, all right, 6 months. Bro, I didn't do the other stuff that you was talking, that you know, that me and you talked about before. I ain't know all that. You know, you don't drop more on me. Now I got to figure it out. I was trying to figure out why. I'm sorry. I'm going to stay on topic.
I was going to say, for the record, I was trying to get it to a 700 because I wanted to start doing business credit. And so this company wanted to, like, they were like, yeah, we can get you there. So the credit score wasn't bad. It was just they were trying to get me to a level to where I could do the business credit.
Right.
And Eric was like, well, if you trust me and you follow this and this and this, I could get you there in 6 months. Bro, and he did.
Yeah. I got it to a 720.
He did.
And don't play. I was like, no. And you talking about spend. And I ain't use a. I said, are you going to pay me $300 a month? Now I got it now. It's just like you saying, man, it's so much power and oneness to where it's like, just like you were saying, like when you recognize, because what the enemy try to do, he try to make you think that your teammate is actually your enemy. But when you're like, nah, let's get on one accord, just like you said. And I love how you said it, that we had to work through it. We had to talk through it, because to recognize there is value in both mindsets. Yeah. You know, she said, money gonna come and go. Got it. But then, like you said, wait a minute now. I done made it out the mud. Like, I'm trying to make sure I don't go back to the mud. It's like, hold on. All right, money gonna come and go, but that's saying what? Now I can't get tied up. By her standpoint, I can't get tied up in money, right. But I can get tied up in my purpose.
Right.
Because money is gonna come and go. And then guess what? Oh, you said we need to save. Look, cool, boom. Because just like, I love what you said. Sis, you just don't know, you don't free so many people because you were willing to tell your husband, baby, I'm not a child. Just talk to me. This is my standpoint with money. And you're saying, okay, baby, I got it. And then the thing that I love about it, bro, you were so patient to hear what she was saying and was like, you know what? Well, babe, I tell you what. This is my mindset.
Wait a minute.
She was patient to be patient with me.
So she was patient with him. So, okay, we reverse that. We reverse that.
Patient with each other.
Yeah. Patient with each other. And that's the thing. Yeah. Because you know how it is. When you know that you're an expert in an area, a lot of times we ain't really got all the patience that's needed. You know what I'm saying?
And sometimes we don't know how to communicate it differently.
Right.
And so the stretch comes with us having to learn to do something new where we were once comfortable.
Right. Right. Yo, dude, y'all just dropping so many nuggets. Y'all hope y'all are picking them up.
Yeah, like, this is good. And then also when it comes to the profile, what about the credit utilization? Because I know that sometimes people say, okay, well, maybe if I just pay this card off and I pay that card off, or I do this and I do that, and it still doesn't affect their credit score. Can you share just a little bit of light on why the score may drop instead of increasing?
Mark your calendars for May 4th, 2024, because the Committed Workshop is happening. You've got a seat with your name on it, either live, in person, or from your living room virtually. This isn't just any workshop. It's your golden ticket to rekindling that spark and strengthening your bond with your spouse. We're talking practical, actionable advice that's going to transform your marriage. And yes, Eric and Tamika, yours truly, will be right there with you, sharing, laughing, and growing together. But here's the catch. Space is super limited. We're keeping it cozy and impactful. So if you're even a little bit excited about making your marriage more amazing, you need to act fast. Jump over to marriagetakeover.com/committed and secure your spot now. Let's make our marriages thrive, not just survive. Can't wait to see you on May 4th. Stay encouraged and remember, we're in this together.
So utilization, a lot of people, and I think I went over this with Eric as well. So if you have three cards, all of them at 1,000, excuse me, 1,000 limit, and you run up all three of those cards to 30%. So, you know, $300 on all three of them. Your utilization on each card would be 30%, but your utilization across all three cards is still 30% as well. But if you ran up one of them to $1,000 and the other two are at zero, then your utilization is still 33% with that across all three of them, even though it would be 99% or something like that, or 100% in one card. But the utilization makes a lot of it impacts you so much because utilization is 35% of your score. So that's a possible, and I forget what the point value is, but it's something like 190 points. So out of all 800 points is a possible almost 200 points that you have with utilization. Whereas people don't realize, okay, well, if I'm maxing out this card, not only does it look bad for utilization, but it also looks bad for the companies that are extending me credit, and it says I need this credit versus I'm using this credit to leverage what I already have. So having a credit card and using it for your mortgage and then paying that mortgage off every month says that, okay, I'm budgeting my money correctly and I was going to do this anyway. So me having this credit card is not going to matter. And they see that, and that's what they're looking at. And then they'll extend your credit because ultimately what they want to do is make money off of you.
Right.
So if they can get you to keep a balance over, you know, anything over, like, I think 10%. And I mean, of course, you know, with the interest rates and stuff like that, they make money off of anything, but they make more money the more you carry a balance. Wow. So everything they're going to do is to get you to keep a balance. So if you have a $1,000 card and you never keep it at more than 10%, so you use it, you pay it off, you use it, you pay it off. They're going to look at that and say, okay, well, they don't really need this card, so I'm going to give them $2,000. See if they use that, and then they're going to keep increasing your limit until you get to a point where you keep a balance and they're making money off of you.
Wow,
yo, you just put me up on game, Slim.
I ain't asking for it. Right. I did not know that they was trying to play games with me.
Using your money.
Man, I tell you, I've been asking all the wrong questions.
And what's important for the audience to know, too, just understanding the game, like you mentioned earlier, LeBaron, is understanding the game and how to play the game, is the banks and the credit companies, they're leveraging us. And so right. Now we need to learn how to leverage them and leverage the access that we have and the tools and the resources. And so I thank you all so much for just sharing. Like,
flip it or reverse it.
Yeah. You guys have been amazing. Well, LeBaron and Kavanya, what I do want to do is, if you can just share with our audience how they can reach out to you. Like, you all are in this space, you do the education around this space, you all have resources for the community. Can you share how people can get in contact with you and where they can find you and what you have coming up next?
So all of my handles are on Linktree, but after the Linktree, you do /DURANTENT. So Durant Enterprises, but you just put the ENT at the end. So Durant, DURANT, and then ENT. But that's on my Linktree, but it has everything, like all of my socials, all of my handles, my phone number, all of that stuff, how to get in contact with me. And then even on Linktree, it has a form you can fill out. So if you already know that you need some credit help, you can go ahead and fill out the form, and then I'll put you on the calendar. We'll get a consultation going with you. But it all starts with a consultation. But I know one thing Tamika said that Eric, you were saying that she told the company, or the company told her, that they guaranteed to have her in 6 months. If you get that in writing, that's illegal, because we cannot, by law, tell you that we can get your score to a certain point. A certain number. Like, they can tell you it's going to increase, and they can tell you they can dispute things on your behalf, but by law, you cannot say, I can get you to a 700.
Oh, wow.
Come on, dog. Yeah.
Ooh. Wow, okay. Sweet.
Come on, dog. Thank you.
And then, do you guys have any education trainings or any webinars or anything coming up soon?
I'm going to be coming out with educational, like some a series of how to fix your credit yourself. But I also have, again, on my Linktree is a do-it-yourself credit repair. Oh. So there are three different like tiers of credit. There's the done for you, where my team does everything for you, and we give you that 6 months of credit repair. And I don't really like to say credit repair. I say credit enhancement because of the negative connotations around credit repair. Because they think when you hear credit repair, you think like shiesty people trying to give you a new Social Security, because they call it a CPN, but it's like an alternative Social Security number. Mm-hmm. But that all of that stuff is illegal, which it's not. I mean, yes, we are repairing your credit, but I just don't like the negative connotations around it. But yes, that for broad knowledge, then yes, that's what we do. But yeah, the DIY option is also available to where you can do, you can fix your credit yourself. You're mailing out the letters and all of that stuff, but you have a consultation with me to, if you get stuck anywhere or anything like that, then I help you as far as like get over that hump or, you know, do whatever you need to do. But the system is set out in such a way that you have everything you need, just like if I were doing it for you to fix your credit yourself.
What do you want to do for the kids?
Oh, and the last part of our bio, as far as like the kids and credit thing, there are and we're going for grants and all of this stuff to put it in schools. But 30% of America has subpar credit, which would be 630, I think it's like 670 and below. So that means you're a subpar credit. Once you get past that part, they call you good credit. So below 670 is subpar credit. And that's 30% of America. 90% of Americans have to use credit at some point or have some sort of credit on their profile, but only, I think it's 7.5% of kids are required to take some sort of financial planning or some sort of financial class before they graduate high school. And the disparity between how many are required to take this before they get out of high school and how many need it, 90%, 7% are required. That means you're going to run into problems because you don't know how to use this. Right. So right. I am developing a course for kids to teach them about credit, so they never get into these situations and looking for government money and all of that stuff for it. But that's what's next.
Sweet. And, I love it.
Yo, I'm going to tell you right now, my son is 24. He's 24. And he called me about because he got some credit stuff going on. I said, reach out to my dog, Durant Enterprise. Let him know. You are my son. He got you.
I know we got one more thing, right?
No, I was going to say, we are so excited to have you all. I wanted to do a rapid fire really quick with you guys before we end.
So y'all check them out.
Our rapid fire, they're going to be really quick questions. Like, you have to answer them quickly, right?
Rapid.
And it's going to be interesting. I only do five. Are you ready to listen? Wifey sitting there looking like, uh-oh. I promise you. We're good. So, let's see. So, with the rapid fire, let's see. Game night or movie night?
Movie night.
Okay. Sex on the beach or at home?
On the beach.
You know they're in Tampa, Chad. Right? You know, clear water right around the corner.
Sweet or savory?
Sweet.
I love it. Loving basketball or Love Jones?
Oh, no! What is that?
Loving and bones.
That is like...
You said Love and Bones.
Those are two of our favorite movies.
Like, I know.
I mean, if you had to pick, though, I like let's just say on three, which one? All right, 1, 2, 3. Love Jones.
I love it. I got one
for you. Michael Jordan or LeBron James?
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
Sweet. I love it. I love it. Listen, thank you all so much for being a part of the Marriage Takeover Show. We appreciate you all so much. And we thank you so much for just the value and the knowledge and the wealth that you are bringing inside of the community.
Oh, that's
I love it.
I love that.
I love it. I love it.
Sis, do you have any final words?
First, thank you all for having us. I'm very passionate about marriage, so just this platform you have is just awesome. I do appreciate it. I'm more into the mental health aspect of our
enterprise.
I love it.
Credit. I'm more of his support, his peace, to make sure he's able to be able to serve everyone and serve the kingdom. In the manner that he does. But it was hard when we first got started, but I'm going to push as along the way. I got his back 110%. So
I love that. I love it. And you just set a wife free.
I'm trying. You
that
just
statement
don't know.
Right there, just set a wife free. Because when you don't have that emotional support, when you don't have that peace, when you don't have the support with just pushing you and making sure that you have what you need in business and making sure that you are affirmed,
yeah.
You know, because being an entrepreneur ain't for the weak.
Ain't for the
and when you might hit a bad day or a hard patch, it's important to have your spouse there supporting you in that space. So you just set a wife or a husband free with just that support. And so I thank you so much for being that pillar, being that helpmeet for him in this space so that he can go and he can serve, and you serve together.
Right.
Serve the kingdom together. So we appreciate you all so much. We do not take it lightly, your time, and we thank you so much. And we do have for everybody else who has joined us, who has tuned in, listen, we want to thank you all so much for tuning in. We appreciate you. We appreciate your time. And we just thank God. You know, there's a scripture reference that says that the people perish because of the lack of knowledge. And it's really important for us to understand the kingdom principles and what God has already destined and set up for us in his word, and start to apply that and start to live that and start to understand the knowledge and unlock those keys so that we really can live a life of abundance.
Yeah.
And so we absolutely are firm advocates of understanding the credit enhancement and how that plays a part, because that's step one oftentimes for a lot of people to be able to step into an opportunity to get the resources that they need.
And it's so funny because even the scripture says, I have given you knowledge to gain wealth.
Yeah.
But just even as the scripture says, that my people shall perish by the lack of knowledge.
We don't know what we don't know.
So therefore, now that knowledge has been put before you, all you got to do now is just go and click the button that's down in our show notes to understand credit even the more, because the wealth of knowledge is going to help you to gain more wealth where you can begin to set up generational wealth.
Yeah, and shift your mindset.
And, ooh, come on
and understanding and knowing. There's a difference when you know something and then when you believe something.
Yeah, come on.
And it's in the believing, right? When you knowing and then you believing, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
Oh, this is possible because of the resources that I have at my fingertips. And so we pray that this has blessed you. I know they have been an amazing amazing blessing.
Oh, y'all
to
will
us.
See them again. You best
so
believe
I thank
that.
God for them. And so, Lord, we thank you for everybody who is watching. We thank you, God, for LeBaron and Kavanya, God. And we just ask that you would continue to bless them, bless their business, bless their household, God, bless their children, that you would continue to have your way, Lord, in their lives, that you would continue to be with each and every individual that has been on this podcast, that has listened, that will listen. And so we ask, Lord, that you would touch their hearts, that you would touch their minds, that you would shift their mindsets, Lord, even coming into the knowledge of what they now know and what's available to them, the resources. And then, Lord, give them the courage to believe.
Yes.
Give them the courage to just to stand in your authority, to stand in the abundance of what you've already given us. God, you've given us so many resources. You've given us so many tools. You've given us the abundance. Now, Lord, allow your sons and daughters to now be able to walk in that freedom,
Lord,
to walk into that obedience, to be able to move forward and not be held in bondage and not be held in captive of the different things and the different mistakes that we put ourselves in.
Mm.
And so, God, we give you glory. Give us wisdom. Give us knowledge. Allow us, God, to be better financial stewards over what you've given us.
Come on now.
Lord, the talents, the gifts, the finances, the resources, everything that you've given us, God, allow us to be better stewards of that, God. Yeah. Our life, Lord, yeah. our mental capacity, yeah. our mental state, Lord, every resource that you've given us financially, Lord, allow us to be better stewards.
Yes, Lord.
God, forgive us where we missed the mark. Forgive us, God, where we squandered our stuff away. Forgive us, God, when we didn't understand the resources that you provided to us.
Yes.
And God, we give you glory.
Yes, we do.
We give you honor. We give you praise. And we ask that you just breathe over your sons and your daughters and yes, you just God. Have your way in their lives in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 I'm your girl, Tamika.
It's your boy, E-Rock Nim.
And this is Marriage Takeover.
We sign out. Holler.
Take over. We are the Marriage Takeover.